This is Queer Voices.
This is Brian Levinka, and I'm very passionate about the next organization and the guests we have in the studio. My heart is with the Victory Fund, and Anise Parker, our former mayor, became president and CEO of the Victory Fund last year. And we have her in the studio tonight to talk about the year that passed, the election in 2018, and I look forward to 2019 and 2020. So welcome to the studio, Anise Parker.
Thank you. It's great to be back. I've been in the KPFT studios many times over the decades.
Yes. So I guess for people that may not know, what is the LGBTQ Victory Fund?
I'm glad you emphasized that we've changed our name. We were Victory Fund and Victory Institute for a long time, but now we are the LGBTQ Victory Fund and Victory Institute. We're a nearly 30-year-old organization. And we are sort of the love child of Emily's List. Mm-hmm. We were spun off by some of the original, or not spun off, we were created by some of the original founders of Emily's List on the same model. And that is that we started as a bundling pack strictly for LGBTQ candidates. Over the years, we created then not just the Victory Fund, the pack, but the Victory Institute, which is a C3 nonprofit that does candidate training, leadership development for our elected officials, and so forth. I've had a great time in the last year as president and CEO of Victory. I actually thought I was going to take 2018 off and be semi-retired, but that didn't happen, and I'm glad it didn't. I was able to work with amazing LGBTQ candidates across the country. Victory is the only national organization that only endorses candidates from our community, and we're the only national organization or a state organization that endorses candidates up and down the ballot. So we are an absolutely unique organization, and we had an amazingly successful year with candidates running for office in 2018.
So why in 2019 is the Victory Fund still important? Why do we need to keep doing the fight that we've been doing?
Well, first of all, there's races every year.
Yeah.
And there's some big races this year. But even though we had amazing success, and I have to plug one of the really cool things that we have on one of our websites, our two separate websites, Victory Fund and Victory Institute. But if you do an internet search for Out for America map, Out for America map, you will find a map that we created that shows every current LGBT elected official in the United States. And the number changes. It goes up and down as people come into office or leave office, but it is at its highest number ever. And I think there are 650 some odd people on the Out for America map. And you'll see that we have two governors. We have two
Yes.
senators. We have eight members of Congress. We have a bunch of statewide elected officials. But even with 650 out LGBT elected officials, if we are 4% of the U.S. population, we need to elect 23,000 more people to have parity. So that's why it still matters.
So we have a long way to go.
We have a long way to go. But the 2019, we already have, there's an open lesbian that we've endorsed, contender for mayor of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So she would take my mantle as the mayor of the largest U.S. city. Chicago's number three, and we were number four.
Well, but she wasn't the first.
She was not the first, but she would be.
And we're about to be the number third largest city.
Yeah, but she'd be the next highest level official. We have a great lesbian running there. We have a former city council member, former state senator, lesbian. We've endorsed for mayor of Kansas City, another in Tampa. So the women running for mayor this year
are powerful.
We are. It's awesome. And, you know, going back to 2018, though, we just elected a statewide official, Ricardo Lara, in California. He now represents more people than any other elected LGBT official anywhere, as far as we know, because he's represents the entire state of California as their insurance commissioner.
So as president of the Victory Fund, you do a lot of traveling.
I do. I live in Houston. I want to make sure that your listeners know this, but I spend about a third of my time in D.C. and a third of my time on the road.
And what's the funnest place or the most boring place you've ever traveled for?
Oh, don't ask me to say that because someone will be mad at me. But one of the things I committed to when I became CEO of Victory, and not necessarily a criticism, but more of an observation, we spent a lot of time on the coast, in the big cities. So I have been in Little Rock and Madison and Milwaukee and smaller, you know, mid-market cities, because it's important for us to be everywhere our candidates are. And our candidates aren't just winning in big cities. They're winning in the state of Kansas, for example. I actually campaigned there on Election Day.
And isn't kind of our fight in the quote-unquote low-equality states where we need to have the representation, and those are the tougher races to win?
We need to be in low-equality states, and the reason is that it matters when we're in elective office. There are still, I believe, three states that have never elected anyone to their state house. Alaska, I think Alaska, Louisiana, and maybe Tennessee.
I want to say Mississippi.
Or Kentucky. I think it's Kentucky. But we elected two state house members in Kansas this last cycle. We elected somebody in Nebraska. We've elected somebody in Montana and in Utah. We think of these places as ultra conservative, and they are, but we have opportunities there as well.
And I think our society is changing, and we're starting to see more representation in the media and in society, so we're kind of starting to see those people in representation.
Well, one of the reasons that, you know, we had a surge of candidates in 2018. Victory is a bipartisan organization. We did endorse a couple of Republicans. We endorsed more than 272 candidates and had 244 on the ballot, out LGBT candidates on the ballot in November. There were more than 750 out LGBT candidates who ran nationwide.
Wow.
Obviously, you know, we're a pack. We look at viability. We look at a lot of things. But a lot of those candidates we didn't know about until late in the game. They were people who were passionate, and they jumped out there and decided to run. But what we do know is that qualified, capable LGBT candidates win at just as high a rate as other candidates. That it is not, maybe it's not a great thing for your campaign to be openly LGBT, but it's not a horrible thing for your campaign either. We don't ask anyone to vote for our candidates because they are LGBT, but what we're seeing more and more is that people aren't going to vote against you because you're LGBT.
It's not an automatic disqualifier.
It's not an automatic disqualifier. And the winning candidates, of our victory endorsed candidates, we were in the 70% range for the candidates that we really focused on winning. And they actually didn't win on national issues. They ran, even those running for Congress, they ran and won on issues that resonated with their constituents. Mm-hmm. National issues may have gotten them into the race, but that's not what helped them win their races. They ran on, you know, all politics is local.
If you're joining us, we're speaking with former Houston Mayor Anise Parker, who is now the president and CEO of the LGBTQ Victory Fund. Now, Anise, on election night 2018, what were the races that you were most nervous about?
Well, we wanted to make sure that you have to protect your incumbents. Hmm. So we've only had one out LGBT governor. That was Kate Brown in Oregon. Mm-hmm. So, and one out senator, Tammy Baldwin, in Wisconsin. And I just told the staff, we could win every other race, but if we lose one of those, it'll be a bad night, because you have to hold on to your marquee races. So we not only sent those two amazing women back to office, but we elected Jared Polis as governor of Colorado and Kyrsten Sinema as senator from Arizona. So we doubled those numbers. And I spent the weekend before election in Wisconsin campaigning for Tammy Baldwin, and she ran away with it. She won by about 12, I think she won by 12 points. And interestingly, she had coattails. Her race brought people in out to vote, and the rest of the Democratic ticket in Wisconsin barely squeaked over the finish line. And she helped drag them there.
You know, we were hearing stories that there were millions of dollars being poured into Tammy's opponent's races.
She was the number one target for the right wing because Trump won Wisconsin and she was perceived as vulnerable first term senator. She blew him away, and they spent millions and millions of dollars against her starting 2 years out. But I was on election day, the day before election, and on election day, I was actually in Kansas supporting newcomer Sharice Davids.
Who is awesome.
She is. She really is an amazing woman. But our bread and butter races, those are, you know, we're talking about the ones that everybody pays attention to. Our bread and butter races are our state house races. Mm-hmm. And so we did something interesting in Kansas. There were two out LGBT candidates for the state house, and their districts were within Sharice Davids' district. Mm-hmm. So instead of putting our money, I mean, we did make a contribution to Sharice, but instead of doing an independent expenditure or really trying to promote people spending money to support her, we pushed the two state rep candidates. Mm. So instead of trickle down, we did
up.
You know, bubble up.
Bubble up. There
bubble
you go.
Up. Yeah. And they squeaked in, but their numbers helped push Sharice up. And Sharice won handily.
So I guess looking forward to, 2019 and all important 2020, what's on the radar? What are the races that we need to kind of be aware of, both, locally and nationally?
Well, 2019, again, I've already mentioned that there's big cities. The off-year, you know, Houston's, not that I think we're going to have an LGBT Canada, I don't know, but the just as an example, big cities across America have mayoral elections, and in terms of direct impact on the lives of LGBT Americans, nothing has the impact of electing a mayor. Mayors have an extreme amount of administrative authority. It matters on, if you want to work for those cities, if you live in those cities. So mayors are really important. But I predict that we're going to have the same interest in 2020 as we saw in 2018, where we had an unprecedented number of, in fact, almost overwhelming number of out LGBT candidates. What we do in 2019 will be to help prepare them to be more successful. We've reached out to the unsuccessful candidates. Mm-hmm. We're directing them to our candidate and campaign training. One of the things that the Institute, Victory Institute, does is that we have one of the premier candidate and campaign training programs in the country. We'll do four trainings this year, 40 spaces for 40, 45 people apiece. And we really want to reserve those slots for folks who plan on running in 2020. So if you know of anybody who's planning on doing that, get them to a training. And we are reaching out to the people who haven't gone through candidate training, who we did not endorse last year or who were unsuccessful. And we think if with a little tweaking, they may be able to put together a winning package. We're also those same people, whether or not they want training with us, we want them to know what Victory does and why it's important to be engaged. We can introduce them. We're a bundling organization. We are a PAC. We give directly. But our primary mission is to find these capable, qualified LGBT candidates and introduce them to individuals across the United States who may be involved or interested in supporting their campaigns. We have something called the Victory Campaign Board, and I will say that you're on the Victory Campaign Board.
Yeah, I should probably disclose that I'm on the...
And that's a group of, right now, it's 100 people, always looking for more, but they actually make the endorsement decisions for the organization, and it's people from all across the United States.
There's so many great people from all over the country that I've met and become friends with. You know, it's people that are doing the work that we do in Houston all across the country. You know, I feel kind of like siloed here, but it's happening everywhere.
And one of the what we do at Victory is that when a candidate has to apply to us, and we really ask only three things. We ask that they be openly LGBT, and that doesn't mean you have to, you know, written on your forehead or even put it on your campaign literature, but that you're comfortable if you're asked,
you won't deny it,
that you're willing to advocate appropriately based on the level of office that you're seeking for and against the full spectrum of everything from, you know, conversion therapy bills to you have to support transgender inclusion. And then we are a pro-choice organization because we believe in that fundamental right to privacy. And if you meet those criteria, then we just look to see, are you viable? And we are proud of the candidates we've endorsed. Visit our website, victoryfund.org, victoryinstitute.org.
And how can people get more information or more involved?
Well, that's the best place to start. And look at the cities in which we have fundraising activities. And again, it tends to be the big cities, but we're going to be in a lot more places this year than we have in the past. But we have events in Nashville and in Kansas City and in Chicago and Houston and in Atlanta, in San Diego, San Francisco. We'll be out in L.A. We're going to be doing something in Austin. So go to our website, the best place to connect
to us. We have
to
plug the Houston event because I'm co-chair for that. It'll be Sunday, May 19th at the Post Oak Hotel over near the Galleria.
And you'll be able to see some of these amazing elected officials who represent
us. We're working on a really good
one,
but I can't really say. But well,
oh, they're all really good ones. And I can just say a teaser. You know, there's a former mayor, LGBT mayor of South Bend, Indiana, has announced that he's putting together an exploratory campaign for 2020 presidential campaign.
Yes. Well, if you're joining us, we've been speaking with Anise Parker, former Houston mayor and current president CEO of LGBTQ Victory Fund. Well, thank you, Anise. Great interview. Great job that you're doing at the Victory Fund, and thank you for coming on.
Absolutely happy to be here.
Thank you. This is Queer Voices.